Did you enjoy that? Well, listen, we'll be playing some crazy game like that over the next few weeks. By the way, how many of y'all enjoy church like that right there? Yeah, that's what I thought right there.
It's a fun way to do some giveaways. We're always doing some giveaways. By the way, if you haven't had a chance to check in at Christ Fellowship Tampa on Facebook, you can do so. As you know, we're in a brand new series called Swag House, bringing the it back into your life, back into your parenting, and back into your family. Most people live beneath the privilege that God has created them as a man or as a woman or as a child. Most homes live beneath the privilege of what God intended for the house to be a part of. And as a result, many times what happens is our relationships are confused relationships. Our relationships are distracted relationships. Our houses and our homes are not what God intended for them to be because they're so influenced on things that really don't work. It's interesting how much reality shows there is on TV these days and how much they're meant to kind of be an example of what our life is supposed to be like. I was flipping channels the other day and I saw The Real Housewives of Orange County. You ever heard of that show right there? Ever seen that right there? Let me tell you what is not normal. What is not normal is a 43-year-old lady with three kids clubbing till 3 a.m. in the morning. That is not normal right there. Then sleeping to noontime and getting up and blowing through $3,000 for diamonds at a diamond party. Is that normal in your life? Yeah, as it is. Well, we got a couple rollers here, but most people know. And the reality of life is that stuff brings nothing but confusion, because what happens is it starts setting up these examples that can't be followed, and these examples that if you would appear just a little bit further when the cameras are gone, you'd see great anarchy in those homes. You see great divisiveness. You'd see men trying to be women. You see women trying to be men. You see kids trying to be the CEO of the home. Have you ever seen a house where the kid was the CEO, where the kid was taking control, where mom and dad were bowing down to the kid and saying, whatever little Throckmorton you want, we'll make happen? It's confusing. It's desperate households, and we live in them. In Proverbs 31, God has a role for each of us to fit. Now, men and women are created equal. In Genesis 1:26, the scriptures teaches us that we are created in the image of God, that we are created to believe like God, that He infused within each of us His character. And we have different assignments, though. We have different roles. In fact, men and women are extremely different. We talked about what a godly man is supposed to be last week, and we're talking about what God has called a godly woman to be this week. You know, men and women are different. Most men I know won't do all the dishes until all the dishes are dirty. Have you ever noticed that right there? Oh, it's true. Listen, I've seen men eat cereal out of a frying pan with a measuring spoon because it was the last clean dish in the house. And most men are created very different than most women, and most women are created differently than most men. In fact, we look in Proverbs 31 and we see a woman that is looking back at her life. She has lived a life where people put pressure on her to somehow be put together and to be put together externally, put together and be nice all the time, put together. And she just feels like at times her life has not been put together but then thrown together. And so, ladies, you've ever felt like your life has just been thrown together and you've wondered, man, how do I put it together? What is God's design for me? What is God's role for me? Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about God's role for kids and godly parenting and what God's called us to be a part of and God has called us to be able to do. But today, I want us to look from Proverbs 31. Now, this is not a to-do list, ladies, and so don't assume that it is. This is not a to-do list that gives you some ideas. This is a woman, now somewhat older in life, that's assessing where she has been. She's assessing
the courageous swag decisions that she made in life and how they paid off. She's also assessing things that didn't work. And she's kind of taking a snapshot of her life. This is not a picture of a normal day, by the way, in Proverbs 31. This is a picture of a woman that's looking back at the different seasons of her life and thinking to herself, listen, what has God created me to be? What has my life been and what is my life going to be? And you know, you could right now, all ladies, could look at today as your dividing line. From today in the past is the past. But from today moving forward is the future, what God intended for your life. It's the future, what God planned for your life. This is a life of possibly things being thrown together, and this is the life that God has put together. This is the life of other people's pressure on what you maybe should be, and this is the life of where God has intended you to be. And so this life of this lady is going, listen, I realize that my life, that I've made some courageous decisions. I realize there's been some great payoffs. I realize God has blessed my life. In fact, if you look at the scriptures, you're going to notice right here that as she's surveying her life, that she purposed first to make sure she glorified God in every part of her life. That she looked to better her family. And then that she allowed her life to live a life of purpose, satisfaction, and joy. I want you to see, first of all, has she purposed to glorify God with her life. Notice in verse 10 of Proverbs 31, it says, who can find a good wife? For she is worth far more than rubies that makes one rich. In other words, her blessing of her life goes way beyond the paycheck that she brings to the table. That her life worth, her self-worth is not defined by monetary terms. In fact, they say that actually her life was worth more than if you could bring all the money in play. And in verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. How did she bring glory to God? She was a woman that was defined by trustworthiness. Her husband could trust in her because she was trustworthy. Now, us guys, we know a couple things about ourselves. We know that we will make some huge mistakes in life. We know, men, if we live life long enough, that we're going to disappoint the ladies in our lives, that we're going to make some crucial mistakes. And it's interesting right here that this lady in verse 12 says that even though her husband may not have been trustworthy himself, she was considered trustworthy. In fact, she does him good and not bad all the days of her life, it says in verse 12. She was a woman that could have leaked out how bad her husband was, but she didn't. She could have leaked out how confusing his life was, but she didn't. She could have leaked out to other people how messed up he was at times, but she didn't. It says she did him good and not bad all the days of her life. She kept some secrets. She prayed hard. She got on her knees. I want you to see in verse 13, she looks for wool and flax and works willing with her hands. Hey, students, listen to me real quick up at the front right here. It says she's like ships at trade. She brings her food from afar. Listen, she was not willing to just spend money in a free-willing fashion. She was actually careful with the dimes that were entrusted in her. And so what she did was she was careful not to just flow through money. She was careful to make sure that whatever money she had that was entrusted in her, that she made sure she was very careful with what she did with it. It's interesting to note also how she glorified God was that she was a woman that was constantly looking for the deal. She was buying things out of season when they were cheaper. She was buying things when her kids were smaller. She was buying things 6 months from now because there was a good deal. I remember I was in Freeport, Maine with my wife Heather. And I dropped her off at these factory outlets that were in Freeport, Maine. And there was this children's place. Ladies, ever heard of the children's place? Yeah, and so the children's place was right there. And so I dropped her off. And she texts me from inside. She says, hey, Bruce, everything is like 90% off. And so she goes, the deals are incredible. I'm buying stuff for Gwen for 6 months from now, a year from now. And so she kept buying all this stuff, kept buying all this stuff right there. And she was saving me a fortune, she told me at least. But anyway, so what happened was that they finally said to her, hey, ma'am, we're closing. We are closed. And she did what every godly woman would do. She said, just give me 5 more minutes if you would, please. So, ladies, do you know what I'm talking about? And so then it was 5 more minutes. She said, listen, you'll just give me a couple more minutes. And man, she was grabbed. And she came out with this armful of clothes and she got these great deals. And that, see, that's what they're saying, that this woman was giving glory to God. How did she do that? Through preaching a message? No, she did it because she was trustworthy. She did it because she could expose the worst about her family, but she exposed those on her knees in prayer. She preached a powerful message by what she saved and by what she did. I don't want you to notice in verse 15 how she bettered her family. It says she rises while it's still night and makes food for all in her household. She gives work for the young women to do. She doesn't sleep in. She knows the value of an ordered life. She gets up early to make things happen. She's prepping for the food today. And again, by the way, ladies, this is not a to-do list for you. I want you to see, though, the assignment, the opportunity you have of saying, listen, I'm going to live a life where what I do with my finances, what I do with my savings, what I do with the problems that I'm exposed to, that I know about, I'm going to make sure that I give glory and honor to God. I'm going to make sure I better my family. And she's careful. In verse 16, it says she gives careful thought to a field and buys it. She plants grapevines from what she has earned. When she turns a profit, she gets an unexpected windfall and she doesn't blow through it so quickly. She makes herself ready with strength and makes her arms strong, and she sees that she has earned as good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She realizes that she has responsibilities with her family. She's just not hanging out. She's working her calendar. She's working her plan. And she puts her hands to the wheel. And I think it's interesting in verse 20 what she does. This is so incredible how she betters her family. But in verse 20 it says she opens her hands to the poor and holds her hands to those in need. It's interesting right here that she's giving her family an outlook of something that's much, much greater and something much better than just living for yourself. She understands that she has to expose her kids and expose her families to the needs of poverty around her in order for them to live a life not of self-service, but of God's service towards others. And so I think it's interesting to note, right?